there is another type of curse necessary to be free of in order to change our lives. That's called the generations curse. What does the Bible say about it? Let's talk more about it today.
Coming to you from the radio studios of Souls Harbor Covenant Church in Miami, Florida, USA, this is Walking in Power, a dynamic life application Bible study with Bern Zumpano, anointed author and teacher of authentic Christian doctrine. Bern Zumpano's spirit-filled teachings on practical Christianity have touched and transformed the lives of many people who have opened their hearts to God's Holy Spirit as a result of Bern's instructional teaching. Bern shows us how Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and how He can change your life and circumstances. We invite you now to listen in with family and friends as Bern discusses Christian issues and answers that will teach you to walk in the power and the knowledge of God through the Holy Spirit. And now, here's Bern.
Thank you, Glenn. Before we get started, let's pray. Father, on behalf of all of the people of Souls Harbor Church and all Christians worldwide, I come together in agreement, firstly speaking our voice of thanks, praise, glory, honor, exaltation, and majesty to your holy name, to all of the men of the earth and to the ends of the world. Anoint the people worldwide with eyes to see and ears to hear. We agree that all demonic scales are broken off of their spiritual eyes and ears, and that they will see and hear with the eyes and ears of your Holy Spirit. By the Spirit of power and might of your Holy Spirit, we call a clear, wide, open, unobstructed path cut to the heart, mind, soul, and spirit of every person listening, and to every man upon this earth, and agree that you will shine your light and truth upon them and into them. We agree for and call in, by faith, the greatest spiritual end-time harvest that the world has ever seen. Also in agreement, we bind Satan, the prince of the power of the air, the princes of the north, south, east, and west, all principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, wicked spirits in high places, all territorial spirits everywhere, all ruler spirits over all communities and peoples worldwide, all spirits above, around, and below them, all spirits of Antichrist, lies, deception, religion, witchcraft, python, unbelief, doubt, divination, all spirits of harm or immorality of any kind, all spirits of opposition, hindrance, interference, and obstruction, destruction, murder, theft, the Jezebel spirit, the Ahab spirit, the Absalom spirit, all spirits of slander, scandal, rumor, libel, defamation, maligning, derision, opinionated spirits, rumor and gossip, accusations, and false accusations, along with all of their physical and psychic attacks, assignments, and operations. We loose all the peoples everywhere from such activities, assignments, and attacks and operations, and call their strongholds down and destroyed, canceled, made null and void, cursed and destroyed at their roots, never more manifested or come to pass, rendered of no effect, judged, spoiled, and never seated, and decree any and all retaliation, revenge, or getting even permanently, immediately, completely, and continually forbidden, all in the mighty name of Christ Jesus, and in the authority of His name, Father, this is our faith confession, and we believe that we receive, and the saints said in agreement, Amen. Well, greetings to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, and friends of our radio listening audience worldwide. Welcome to our Bible study of the air, where over the past several broadcasts, we have been talking about what the Bible says is required to change your life. We began this series with the understanding that the first thing that was needed to change our lives was that we must come to Christ. We must be born again of His Spirit, that is, born once physically into existence and then born into the kingdom of God by receiving Jesus, Yeshua, as our personal Lord and Savior, following which, because the Gentiles are grafted into the Abrahamic covenant with the Jews, the blessings of Abraham may flow forth on your life to change your life. God gives us the revelation of Scripture by which we can apply the knowledge which we learn in the Word to do those things which are necessary to change our lives. And one of the first things we talked about in this series was the need to have a different attitude, a can-do attitude.
Philippians says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Miracles come in cans. I can. And then we were to set our will, or we are to set our will, to be determined for change. And not to accept anything other than that, and to back it by faith, which is trust on God that He will help you, that He will come through for you. Then we moved on in our discussions in way of brief review, and we talked about the self-inflicted curse and how it must be broken by renouncing it, repenting of it, and breaking it in the name of Jesus. And sometimes very simple things can be self-inflicted curses. Statements we make like, I'll never get married again, or I'll never trust another man again. Or I'll probably fail in this also. Watch your words, folks, because Proverbs 18:21 says life and death are in the power of the tongue. Those who engage it will eat the fruit of it. In other words, your words give rise to fruit. Well, fruit comes from seed. So your words, the power of the tongue, is to produce your words, which are seed. Huh? Okay, so in other words, the Bible says your life is formed by your words. And then we talked about breaking the self-inflicted curse. We went on to discuss breaking the curse spoken over, formed against, or directed at you or your loved ones or your circumstances by others. Careless remarks, which are negative words spoken over a person or a circumstance by others. And they have to be bound in the name of Jesus, the circumstance or the person loosed, and they have to be broken off in Christ Jesus' name. Simple things, like a mother or a father who tells their child, you'll never amount to anything. Oh, you'll be an alcoholic the way your father was an alcoholic. Or, you'll probably die of cancer because your mother or your grandmother died of cancer. All of those things are curses. They need to be bound by the prayer of binding and loosing. You bind the words, you loose the person, you break the curse in the name of Christ Jesus and renounce and repent of receiving it in Christ Jesus' name. And after you break curses, always speak the blessing, which is the opposite of the curse. If someone spoke cancer over you or anything like that, and you break that curse, then you speak the blessing. I walk in divine health in Christ Jesus' name. No weapon formed against me prospers in Christ Jesus' name. See, you replace the curse with a blessing. And then that brings us to today's broadcast, where we talk about the generation's curse and the scriptural foundation of the generation's curse. Sometimes our lives can't change for the better because there is a legal ground for something to be there, and that legal ground needs to be broken off of your life and the life of your spouse and your descendants to come. Because the scripture tells us that the curse goes down for generations with one exception. And that in the Bible is called the curse of illegitimacy, which goes down 10 generations, but is no harder to break than any other generation's curse, because God wants you free of all of it. He wants you blessed. See, God makes a way out for you and for me. But we must understand the dynamics of the curse before we can break them. And today we begin our discussion on generation's curse with the understanding that Jesus became a curse for us on a tree, the New Testament scripture says, in order to free us not only from sin, but from the curse. I've had people say, well, the curse can't harm me because I'm a born-again, spirit-filled Christian, right? And the answer to that is wrong. Why? Because you must take possession of everything in the kingdom. How did you get salvation? You said, I want that, and you took possession of it. Okay? You know, yes, Jesus became a curse for you. It also says in the scriptures, Jesus died once for all men. Are all men saved? The answer to that is no. Why, if he died once for all men? Because they have to take possession of it, and by that I mean they have to take it to themselves. At which time Jesus then delivers the person from sin, from self, and from the consequences of the space and time continuum, which is the result of man's fall into the physical. And so what we learn from all of this is that one of the dynamics of the kingdom is it's granted by grace, but we must take possession of everything in it by faith, by trust on God, and we must verbalize it. In other words, faith demands a faith confession. Huh? And we demonstrate the kingdom by action. So in the case of breaking a curse, the action is first to proclaim it verbally. In the case of getting a healing, you first lay hands. In the case of getting an answer to prayer, you first pray. Action precedes manifestation. That is, the kingdom is demonstrated by action. And so if we apply these principles, we can become free of the generation's curse because Jesus obtained that for us at the cross by the finished work of the cross. But just like we have to take possession of salvation, we have to take possession of the finished work of the cross, including our freedom from curses. Now, some people believe that curses are broken by prayer alone, and I have seen that happen, and that is simply just God's grace for lack of knowledge. But if we read the scripture tells us about the true requirements for breaking the generation's curse effectively. And we're going to talk about that today. But first, I want to tell you how you recognize a generation's curse. A generation's curse is recognized by a physical problem, an emotional problem, or a spiritual problem running in a family line in more than one generation. That is, at least two people in two different generations in the family having the same problem. And generations' curses can be diseases, they can be emotional problems, they can even be spiritual problems. Even such things as resisting the Holy Spirit can be a generational thing. And so what we discover is that we must do an inventory and sometimes even ask the elders in the family what they know about things that run in the family. Sometimes you may have observed character traits in other members of the family so that you already know. But the point is that it is the sin that is cursed. So if the person goes after the sin, they get the curse that goes along with it, whether they want it or not. You see, it isn't the person that's cursed. The curse is attached to the sin, so that the sin will act as a deterrent to the person, that they will not desire to sin, that they will not desire to go after sin. You know, here in the United States, every child knows what Cracker Jacks are. Cracker Jacks are a type of caramel popcorn, corn which is popped, and it comes out in little white puffs, for those of you who have not seen popcorn before. And then they put caramel candy over it, and they put it in a box, and they sell it, and it's most popular among children who like to buy it after school to munch on as they walk home or when they get home and watch television and have a snack. In every box of Cracker Jacks, as it's called, there is a little prize that is an attraction for purchase. Children love to buy Cracker Jacks because they like to get the prize that goes along with it. Well, the point is that sin is that way. You see, just as caramel corn or Cracker Jacks has a prize that is attached to it that goes along with it, whether you want it or not, if a child wants to buy Cracker Jacks, the child has to purchase the box with the little prize toy inside the box, and he has to take that with the Cracker Jacks whether he wants it or not. That's the way the generation's curses in regard to sin. Go after the sin, the curses attached to the sin, so you get the prize that goes along with the sin, which is the curse, whether you like it or not. And God does that so that sin will be a deterrent. But if you are born again, if you are spirit-filled, God shows you the way out. It isn't His will that you or your loved ones live under the curse. And once you are in the kingdom of God, the things of the kingdom of God are for the people of the kingdom of God. And God's purpose in your life and in the life of others is that you may have life and have it abundantly. That you may receive abundantly of His Spirit and of His blessings. And so He shows us the way to break the curse once we have become born again and received His Holy Spirit and trust on Christ, that He will bring forth the breaking of the curse and will bring forth the blessing to substitute it. Now, how is it that we are to do this? Well, the first thing we have to do is understand the operation of the curse. It isn't the person who's cursed, it's the sin. And sometimes our ancestors, when they got into sin, brought that upon themselves, but there are consequences to the generations that come. Listen to the description of the generation's curse in Exodus chapter 20, verse 5. This is what it says. Talking about idols, God giving instruction to the Israelites, He said, "You shall not bow down yourself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." Now, it continues in verse 6, "And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." That's commandments with a small c, which means all the teachings of the Word of God to the best of your ability. Now, notice he says that he visits the iniquity, the sin, of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. God says that those who willfully sin, willfully practice sin, hate him. And he's speaking of those who commit that sin in order to satisfy their own hungers and lusts for pleasure or possession or whatever, and that sin then goes down three to four generations. Exodus chapter 20, verse 5. But at the same time, in Leviticus, God shows us the way out of the generation's curse. And as we read in Leviticus chapter 26, beginning with verse 40, in reading onward, the Lord says to the Israelites, "If they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers," some of your translations say forefathers, "with their trespass, which they trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me, and that I also have walked contrary unto them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies, if then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they then accept of the punishment of their iniquity, then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham, will I remember, and I will remember the land." Now, God says here that if those who have sinned will acknowledge the sins of the forefathers, the sins of the fathers, and they will repent for walking contrary to Him, that is, for grieving His Holy Spirit, and walking in hostility to the Father, to Father God, and repent and renounce it, He says that He will break the generation's curse. He will break it off of them, and He will restore a covenant relationship. So the generation's curse is not broken by a simple prayer of breaking the curse. The generation's curse is broken by repentance first of the sins of the ancestors. I'll tell you something very interesting. Several years ago, we were breaking generations' curses in two or three people, and we noticed over a period of time that the curses had not been broken and nothing had changed. And I went to the Lord, and in prayer I had asked the Lord for a witness as to why the generations' curses were not broken. And the Lord said to me, wrong motive. And I didn't understand what he meant by that. And I asked the Lord to explain. And the Lord spoke to my heart, and he said that the motive of these people was to get a monkey off of their back so that they could continue on with their own agenda, with their own schedule of things, with their own plans. And the Lord said to me, he said, that is not a right reason for breaking the generation's curse. He said, the right motive for breaking a generation's curse is because they grieved my Holy Spirit and acted in hostility to me. The right motive is a godly sorrow and repentance for what the sins of the ancestors did to offend the Father. If we love the Father enough, we will not permit these things a place in our life, because the places of generations' curses in our lives are associated with sins that the ancestors committed that were never repented of, and which grieved the Father, insulted the Spirit of grace, grieved the Holy Spirit. And so what we learn from all of this is there is a way to break the generation's curse, and it is firstly by acknowledging the sins of the ancestors and repenting and confessing to the Lord that by their actions, according to Leviticus 22, I'm sorry, correct, Mikey, according to Leviticus chapter 26, verses 40 to 44, that it is by acknowledging the sins of the ancestors that in so doing they acted in hostility to Father and grieved His Holy Spirit. Now, if we understand that, we can then go on and name the generation's curses, and we can break them, all ties, bonds, cords, and soul ties, with the sins, with the curses, and with the spirits, the familiar spirits that carry them out, and banish the spirits in the name of Christ Jesus, cast them out in the name of Christ Jesus, and break the generation's curses in the name of Christ Jesus, then speak the blessing over ourselves or others, which are the opposite of the curse, or even over our circumstances, which are the opposite of the curse. Now, some of you will say, Baburn, I don't know a lot of my history. I don't know what the exact sins were that my ancestors committed. They lived too long ago for me to remember. Well, that's true. But guess what? God does know. So you can just say, Lord, whatever their sins were that brought into the family's line this curse or behavior of such and such, I repent because they grieved your Holy Spirit and acted in hostility to you, and I renounce what they did. You see, then you go on and break it in the name of Christ Jesus. Okay, and God will honor that because He knows, you see. And God is a God of new beginnings, and God wants a new beginning for you. God wants you free from the curse of any type. Okay, but guess what? The things of the kingdom are for the people of the kingdom. Are you in the kingdom? Would you not like to be free from the curses? Would you not like God's divine plan for your life to take over so that not only you, but your spouse and your children will come under the blessing of God and the blessing of the Abrahamic covenant? That's God's plan for your life. But you can't do it under your own power. The things of the kingdom are for the people of the kingdom. And Moses can't take you there. Moses can't bring you into the promised land. My Jewish friends, think about this. Moses died at the Jordan. In order to cross over into the promised land, it took Joshua. And the contracted name of Joshua is Yeshua. And Yeshua is Jesus. It takes Jesus to take you over into the promised land. And if you're a Muslim, or if you're a Buddhist, or if you're a Hindu, or whatever your religion, or if you're an animist, those gods cannot take you anywhere, nor can they give you anything in the line of love or divine mercy or protection or blessing. Most of them were men, and their tombs are filled with their bones. Only Jesus' tomb is empty, because he is resurrected and alive, and the evidence that he is still alive is the evidence of changed lives. Just as he was changing lives 2,000 years ago, he is changing lives today. And he can change yours if you will invite him into your heart. He will reveal himself to you. Come on. Today is as good a day as any. Make that giant leap forward for you, your loved ones, and your descendants to come. Receive Jesus today, won't you? By praying this prayer aloud, repenting of your sin.
Say, Lord Jesus Christ, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I repent of my sins, all of them. I turn from them by my own free will. I renounce them. I ask your forgiveness. I invite you into my heart now to be Lord and Savior. That is, to lead me through life and save me. I confess you before men as the resurrected Christ. Come into me now, Lord Jesus Christ. I receive you by trusting faith and faith alone. Amen.
Now, if you prayed that prayer by trust on Jesus, get yourself into a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled, non-denominational church. Get yourself water and Holy Spirit baptized by immersion. Get into community where people will teach you the Word of God, and I promise you, my friend, you'll never again be the same. Well, what else does the Bible reveal to us about the generation's curse? Let's talk more about it next week. God bless you.
This program was brought to you by the volunteers of the International Radio Ministry of Souls Harbor Covenant Church, Miami, Florida, USA. We desire that this broadcast become a spiritual nourishment and blessing to you. There's a lot of Christian entertainment and testimony activity on TV and radio worldwide, but there's a greater need for instruction in the Word and the ways of God. Our desire is to help fill that need. If this program has been a blessing to you and others, you may wish to become a contributor to this ministry as you feel led by the Holy Spirit. Your contribution in the form of an international money order or personal check stateside would be greatly appreciated to carry on God's work and to keep us on the air. If you can't afford to support us financially, please be our covenant partner through your prayer support. Pray that our mission will be carried out according to God's will as we carry out His command that our voice go into all the earth and our words to the end of the world. We pray that this program is a blessing to you and that you'll tell others about us. Burns' classic and timeless Bible teachings given over many years past are highly anointed and are now available on cassette tapes along with his books and other ministry materials that teach the believer to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to hear from you. Write us or send us a postcard with a clear return address requesting our catalog or making your comments. Our address is Walking in Power, P.O. Box 161322, Miami, Florida, USA 33176. Or for telephone orders using your credit card, call toll-free 1-888-273-WORD. That's 1-888-273-9673. Until next week, we remind you that the Bible tells us that there is no salvation apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, and that there is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved from our sins. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and as a living person, willing and able to get involved in your life, shouldn't you? Invite Him into your heart today to be Lord and Savior, and receive Him by a trusting faith alone. If you want to know more about the necessity of being saved, write us. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We hope you'll tune in next week at this same time as we bring you more of the Holy Spirit's timely Bible teachings through Bern Zumpano. Until then, God bless you and keep you in His love. Walking in Power is a production of United Ministries International.